velvety feathers and stooped straight to the offered wrist, gripping with yellow claws. It was no sparrowhawk, but a big ender falcon of Roke, a white and brown barred fishing hawk. It looked sidelong at the archmage with one round, bright gold eye, then clashed its hooked beak and stared at him straight on with both round, bright gold eyes. "Fearless," the archmage said to it in the tongue of the making. The big hawk beat its wings and gripped with its talons, gazing at him. "Go then, brother, fearless one." The farmer, away off on the hillside under the bright sky, had stopped to watch. Once, last autumn, he had watched the archmage take a wild bird on his wrist, and then in the next moment had seen no man, but two hawks mounting on the wind. This time they parted as the farmer watched. The bird to the high air, the man walking on across the muddy fields. He came to the path that led to the imminent grove, a path that led always straight and direct, no matter how time and the world bent awry about it, and following it came soon into the shadow of the trees. The trunks of some of these were vast. Seeing them, one could believe at last that the grove never moved. They were like immemorial towers, gray with years. Their roots were like the roots of mountains. Yet these, the most ancient, were some of them thin of leaf, with branches that had died. They were not immortal. Among the giants grew sapling trees, tall and vigorous, with bright crowns of foliage, and seedlings, slight leafy wands, no taller than a girl. The ground beneath the trees was soft, rich with the rotten leaves of all the years. Ferns and small woodland plants grew in it, but there was no kind of tree but the one, which had no name in the Hardic tongue of Earthsea. Under the branches the air smelled earthy and fresh, and had a taste in the mouth like live spring water. In a glade which had been made years before by the falling of an enormous tree, Ged met the master patterner, who lived within the grove and seldom or never came forth from it. His hair was butter yellow. He was no archipelagan. Since the restoral of the Ring of Aerith Acby, the barbarians of Kargad had ceased their forays and had struck some bargains of trade and peace with the inner lands. They were not friendly folk, and hailed aloof. But now and then a young warrior or merchant's son came westward by himself, drawn by love of adventure or craving to learn wizardry. Such had been the master patterner 10 years ago, a sword-begirt, red-plumed young savage from Corrego At, arriving at Gaunt on a rainy morning and telling the doorkeeper in imperious and scanty Hardic, "I come to learn." And now he stood in the green-gold light under the trees, a tall man and fair, with long, fair hair and strange green eyes, the master patterner of Earthsea. It may be that he, too, knew Ged's name, but if so, he never spoke it. They greeted each other in silence. "What are you watching there?" the archmage asked, and the other answered, "A spider." Between two tall grass blades in the clearing, a spider had spun a web, a circle delicately suspended. The silver threads caught the sunlight. In the center, the spinner waited, a gray-black thing no larger than the pupil of an eye. "She, too, is a patterner," Ged said, studying the artful web. "What is evil?" asked the younger man. The round web, with its black center, seemed to watch them both. "A web we men weave," Ged answered. In this wood, no birds sang. It was silent in the noon light and hot. About them stood the trees and shadows. "There is word from Narveduin and Enlad."
"The same."
"South. And southwest, north And northwest, said the patterner, never looking from the round web. We shall come here this evening. This is the best place for counsel. I have no counsel. The patterner looked now at Ged, and his greenish eyes were cold. I am afraid, he said. There is fear. There is fear at the roots. Aye, said Ged. We must look to the deep springs, I think. We have enjoyed the sunlight too long, basking in that peace which the healing of the ring brought, accomplishing small things, fishing the shallows. Tonight, we must question the depths. And so he left the patterner alone, gazing still at the spider in the sunny grass. At the edge of the grove, where the leaves of the great trees reached out over ordinary ground, he sat with his back against a mighty root, his staff across his knees. He shut his eyes as if resting, and sent a sending of his spirit over the hills and fields of Roke, northward, to the sea-assaulted cape where the isolate tower stands. Curum Carmeruc, he said in spirit, and the master namer looked up from the thick book of names of roots and herbs and leaves and seeds and petals that he was reading to his pupils, and said, I am here, my lord. Then he listened. A big, thin old man, white-haired under his dark hood, and the students at their writing tables in the tower room looked up at him and glanced at one another. I will come, Curum Carmeruc said.